We will be discussing the sinfulness of man, which we can see in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Last lesson, we discussed about the power of the gospel. And Paul was talking about the reason why he is not ashamed of the gospel. And that gospel is what is the life, death, burial, resurrection, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. When we look at the suffering of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, it is very clear that sin is a very serious thing. Because of the seriousness of sin, the Son of God had to come and pay the price to be a sacrifice for mankind. Now, in verse 18, Paul is talking about the wrath of God. And he comes to chapter 3, verse 20, comes to the conclusion through a series of reasoning that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul also shows that sin is a common factor that exists among all human beings, that is, Jew and Gentiles. And it is very clear to any child of God that the seriousness of sin is a real problem. You know, according to human standard, most people are pretty good people. But God is not looking at the standard of man. The important thing is not that they have met their own standard, but they have not met God's standard. Because of that, they are subject to the wrath of God. Paul begins this series of reasoning by describing the sinfulness of the Gentile world. This is the subject matter of Romans 1:18 to 32. Let us look into the revelation of God to the Gentiles in verses 18, 19, and 20. Paul is talking about the revelation which is given to the Gentile world. Paul talks about the evidence of God's revelation to Gentiles through the created things. In this passage, we can see that God is revealing himself to mankind through the material universe, which testifies the nature of God. Verse 18, 19, and 20, let me read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here you can see that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. A careful study of the passage shows that revelation is always God's act. God makes himself known. He uses various devices as instruments of his voice, but revelation is always the direct act of God. And also, revelation is an encounter with God, either for salvation or judgment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So we know that the revelation is supernatural. The revealer is God. The passive form identifies God as the one who reveals things. And it is clear from the passage that the revelation has its origin from heaven. And also, the revelation here is described in present tense verb. So this is not something occurred in the past, but it is a revelation that occurs continuously. So it is still going on. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, we can see that in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the messages preached to save those who believe. The world is not capable of discerning or offering this knowledge. Now, the subject matter of the revelation is the wrath of God. And as we know, the wrath of God is a righteous attribute of God. The wrath is being manifested against every form of irreverence. That is sin towards God and sin towards man, which is idolatry and immorality. The objects of this wrath are those men who suppress the truth. They know the truth, so they are not innocent. This Paul elaborates in verses 21 to 25. Now, the instrument of this revelation are the things that God has created. Verse 19 and 20, the reason men be accused of opposing the truth is that God, which is known of God, is evident to them because God has revealed it. God has used the created things to show this knowledge. The revelation declares the invisible things of God, which consist of God's everlasting power and divine nature. These aspects of God's nature have been revealed from the creation of the world. Now, Let us look into the purpose of this revelation. The purpose of this revelation is to render those who are guilty of suppressing the truth defenseless. So, Paul says in 1:20, in order that they should be without excuse. Here the word suppress seems like a man is capable of suppressing the truth. But the original word translates means opposing, or man is against the truth. They are defenseless because when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and they are unthankful. When they knew God, they did not give any glory appropriate to His name. They did not render worship at all. They were not even thankful. Thanklessness is treated here as sin. This lack of worship and thanklessness leads to many sinfulness that would eventually destroy them. Paul is dealing with that issue in the next segment. That is verse 21 to 32. You can see the sinfulness and the judgment. So why people are guilty? People are guilty because they sin against the truth they have. The truth that is open to all people. See, you can see there is a progression of judgment due to the rejection of God's revelation in their life. From verse 21, we understand that Paul is describing man's degeneration as a step-by-step descent into moral corruption. With each step, there is a divine response in the form of judgment. That judgment takes the form of deep moral and physical distortions of the nature of man. God judged sin and continued to do so by imposing even greater sinfulness upon the sinner. Let us look into the degradation process step by step. We read verse 21. You can see that the step one, or the first step in the progression of judgment, is to respond to the fact that they did not glorify God or were thankful. When men refuse to glorify God or be thankful to Him, God makes them empty in their reasoning. Man's reasoning capacity is the very faculty in which men of philosophic interest regards themselves as strong. It is this faculty that God brings under judgment. The form of judgment is that their foolish heart was darkened. Each verb used in verse 21 is in passive form. For example, they were made to be foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this is done by God Himself, because they did not glorify God, or they were not thankful to Him. They did not acknowledge Him and thanked Him for who He is. This is a typical Hebrew way of ascribing the action to God. The word empty is in regards to their reasoning. Their reasoning does not come to the knowledge of God. So Paul describes their hearts as foolish, that is, void of understanding. That is the standard of life, a spiritual condition that is consistently used in the Bible to describe those who deny God. If you read Psalms 14, you can understand about this a little bit more. God judges such moral default with even greater darkness. In verse 22, it says, while they continued to regard themselves as wise, they were made foolish. Even in this condition of judgment, man continued to regard himself as wise. Their actual condition stands in absolute contrast to their view of themselves. They view themselves as wise. God has made them insipid, or in other words, void of understanding. While they call themselves wise, they become more and more corrupt. This lack of understanding and deepening corruption are direct result of God's judgment. See, when God judges people because of their unthankful heart, because they did not give glory to God, you can see what is happening. The next step in man's rebellion against God takes place in the form of idolatry. You can see they change the glory of God into images of created things. Following consideration proves that this is very offensive. See, for example, God's glory is higher than any imagery and greater than any physical temple, altar, or image can contain. Bible talks about God's glory. If you can see that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25 to 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18. Every form of idolatry is forbidden. Exodus 20, verse 3 to 6. These men substituted the images of corruptible things for the glory of the incorruptible God. God will not give his glory to another, nor will he allow it to be done without bringing judgment upon the idolater. Read Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. Also Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. The exchange that men made to offer images of corruptible things as if they represent the nature and glory of God. Paul names these images as corruptible man, birds, four-foot beast, and reptiles. The threefold classification of animals, which is seen in Genesis 1, 20 to 26, and the term glory and images, likeness, suggest that Paul's account of man's wickedness has been deliberately stated in terms of the biblical narration of Adam's fall. To reduce the image of God to a man is an attack on God's glory. The sin lies in the fact that any temporal image of God is a corruption of his nature. God judges this corruption by imposing the sentence of corruption on the men who blasphemed his glory in idolatry. So God gave them over to the lust of their flesh in order that they might dishonor their own bodies. This corruption arises out of the nature of man. They proceed out of the lust of their heart. See? So when people worship the creature, they are giving the glory of God to the created things. So God's glory cannot be changed or given to anybody else. So you cannot exchange God's glory for corruptible things. Nothing in the world can represent God or the nature and glory of God. So the fallen status of Adam is connected with this group of people. So God is allowing them or giving them over to the lust of their own flesh. God is allowing them to dishonor their own bodies because they made the images of things to worship where God is supposed to be worshipped. So this corruption arises out of the nature of man, and they proceed out of the lust of their heart. This is very punishable. Their aim is the filth of nature that dishonor the body. It imposes on the body a distortion. See what happens. When God gave them over to such type of activity, they are being distorted. See, a use of the body that was not intended by God when He made them. So man, in these sins, dishonor their bodies among themselves. That is, Paul is talking about sexual dishonor. It is the biblical position that fornication is an abuse of the body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. See, the next downward step for man was to exchange the truth of God for lie. The truth is what is described in verse 19. The being of God, His being. The truth which He declared of Himself from the creation, even His eternal power and divine nature. When man turned to idols, he rejected this eternal truth. The corruption is intensified here in the worship and service of the creature instead of the Creator. The lie is the worship of the creature instead of the Creator. Men are morally bound to glorify God. God ought to be worshipped because of the truth. That is, because of His being, because of who He is. That He is to be praised forever. Amen, Paul says. See, God is to be praised forever, not a moment. He allows that to be given to any creature. So you can see, Paul, without any doubt, saying, no matter man does, no matter what man does, the glory belongs to God. Not for one moment anybody can take that from God. So by worshiping the creature, Men is revolting against the judgment and the activity of eternity. God has judged this sin also as the sin reached the greater depths of corruption. God sentenced men to greater depths of corruption. In verse 26, we see that God gave them over to dishonorable passion. Here we can see a direct cause and effect relationship between man's sin and God's act. God is directly active in the judgment and his execution. Look at the character of the sin to which God abandoned men. This dishonorable passion distort the normal character and the physical and psychological nature of mankind. If you look at the sins and the condition of the world nowadays, in front of our eyes we can see how pathetic the condition of men when they dishonor God and do their own things, when they reject God, when they don't want to worship God. God is punishing them with their own sin. You can see some specific sin Paul is talking about. The specific sins mentioned here are homosexuality and the perverted use of the sex organs. The sinfulness of lesbianism is first mentioned. That is, for their woman exchanged the natural function for the unnatural. Then Paul mentions the male homosexuality. For even the men, when they had left the natural use of the females, burned in their lust, one for another. The implication is that the perverted use of the female provoked homosexual lust among the men. This lust produced indecent act between men, and they received appropriate judgment. See, with the homosexuality and lesbianism are widespread in the community. And we may wonder what is happening in the world. This is the direct act, the result of what they are doing. God is punishing them for their sins. So the final insult that men imposes upon God and his glory is that men did not consider the thought of God to be a worthy thought for his mind. This sin was punished by bringing the mind of man under the sentence of reprobation, a mind rendered worthless and corrupt. A reprobate mind is one which is abandoned or rejected by God, and therefore not fit for any activity worthy of approbation or esteem. As a result, they are out of the order of decency and contrary to the character of mankind. Paul gives us a list of indecent acts, which all means similar or same meaning. Paul says men are filled with these indecent activities. This is applicable to individuals and the society. Individuals are depraved, and so is the social structure that he dominates. In verse 32, Paul says, always they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things are worthy of death. They not only continue to do those wrong things, but also approve of those who practice them. See, God has left a witness of himself in the mind of men that these things correctly calls for divine judgment. In verse 14 and 15 of chapter 2, you can see that. In spite of this sensibility of conscience, men continue in the same sins that they know are damnable. They further provoke God by taking pleasure in those who do those sins. Those who walk in sin influence others too. The man or woman who says he or she does not influence others to sin is a liar. Sin by nature desires and requires companionship. So there are four levels of sinful degradation and judgment by God. You can see when mankind reject the revelation God has given to them. Even when man does not have all the facts before them, they do not obey or they do not follow what they have known, God is going to question and punish them and bring them to judgment for what they are not doing. So let us think about our life today. Let us think about what God has revealed to us thus far. In our life, if God has spoken to us through any medium, whether it is through a preacher or from the nature or through any other things, whatever God has given us, whatever God has revealed to us is to obey. Otherwise, there is judgment associated with it. Nobody can escape from that judgment. Even without hearing the gospel, this portion teaches us that the nature itself is talking to us. The nature of the created things of the universe is declaring the glory of God. By looking at the created things itself, the portion of God which is in every human being should enable them to respond to the call. As I said earlier, God has left a witness of himself in the mind of human being. A portion of God is in every human being, so that they cannot deny, they cannot say at the end, I did not know. They are without any excuse. And so there is a judgment waiting for every human being based on what they have heard. At this time, it is important to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed higher of all things, through whom also he made the world. So this last days, the full revelation of God is given to mankind through Jesus Christ. So nobody can say that they did not know what God has intended for us. Next time we will continue with the rest of the passage, and may God bless you.